Good morning.
Do we have any announcements that any folks have that they'd like to make this morning?
Come on up. Oh, jumping over the rail he is. Look at him.
I'm going to the gym. James Farmer asked me to remind everybody that on the 28th of this month, Polyphony will be singing here at 7 o'clock, Woodlawn United, and we'd love to have you out. Thank you.
Awesome. Any other announcements besides ours? No chowder for sale on Sunday. You're just sold out Friday. It was awesome.
Sold out.
Yeah, that's great.
All right.
Okay. Okay, sorry. Can't read Shannon's writing. She wrote this out for me. Sorry. Our Christian sympathies are extended to the family and friends of Nikki Armsworthy, and, of course, to her husband, Carl. Nikki died this past week, and it was a bit of a hard go for them and still is for Carl and his family. So the service for Nikki will be this Thursday morning at 10 a.m. here at Woodlawn.
And the flowers that you see up here have been left, and they were from yesterday's celebration of life of Kelly Watson Shute, and we're happy to have them here with us today.
Okay. We would like to thank you so much for all of the food that you brought last Sunday to celebrate Pat Rottenheiser and her almost three decades of volunteer work for the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank. So, yeah, that big, huge wall of food here, they're so happy to have it over at the food bank, and everyone is so appreciative. So thank you very much for that.
So tonight at 7 to 8, we have Tweens. This is a program that's for young people in grades 4 and 5, and we meet in rooms A and B. So if you ever know anybody in that age category who might be interested in coming out and doing some fun activities as we explore our relationship with God, let us know.
Yep. Morning, everyone. I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank everyone that attended the funeral for Kelly yesterday. Also to the ladies who prepared a wonderful reception, to the choir, people who sang, the people who operated the soundboard, and it was just a big thank you to everyone from the family. I know Todd covered a lot of that in his talk, but it was really special, and we thank you very much for your participation. And while I'm here, I'd be remiss in not putting a local face on the notice for, or the ask for members to the Church Extension Board. I'm currently chair of it, and I'm finished on 1st of July, so I'd like to throw the torch to somebody. Woodlawn has had a presence on this board for the past 12 years, and it really isn't taxing, but it's a very important part of our church program. Basically, what it is we have a few meetings a year, few meaning less than five. It's not stressful at all, and you get to work with a very fine group of individuals across our region. Previously it was Presbytery, now it's Region 15, but our mandate is still based on the old Halifax Presbytery as far as providing funds for local loans. And this past year we've been fortunate to be able to loan quite a lot of money out to the churches in the region for things like solar projects, refinishing buildings, and so on. The mandate may change under Region 15, but if you need to know more about it, as well as Diana Dalton, who is currently the secretary of our board, you can talk to me and find out what's involved, but it's just a great way to find out what's going on the Water Church. So thank you very much.
And this Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. from 2 to 4, I will be leading a Thank God It's Thursday on heaven. So let's talk about heaven. We're going to have some discussion about that. So all welcome.
And tomorrow, Monday, we have the open prayer. So every Monday during Lent, the sanctuary will be open. There'll be somebody here, and you're welcome to come in and have a time of quiet prayer between 12 and 1.
A clarification about the celebration on April 4th. We hope to begin our evening at 5, so if you have something hot for the oven, if you could come around 4:30. If you have something cold, that's fine. Closer to 5 is good, but just hot items, 4:30 would be great, and we can get started at 5. Thank you.
On Tuesday evening, there is youth. We have these all in order. But man, it's getting all mixed up in every direction. But on Tuesday, we have junior youth group meets, and we're meeting in the youth room over in the White Church from 7 to 8. And that's for young people who are in grades 6, 7, and 8. So if you know anybody in that category who'd like to join us, we're always welcoming anybody who comes.
And I think the only other thing, was that me?
That's you. You can't turn your... Okay. And then on Friday, we have a chowder lunch. And so those are the...
Mine's off.
Is it mine then? Well, let's test it out. Do we have a welcome ambassador today? Right here. Kevin is our welcome ambassador. Stand up, Kevin. If you are new to Woodlawn or would like any information or like a little tour or have somebody accompany you down to coffee hour after worship, find Kevin. We're so happy to have everybody here with us today, including anybody who's visiting. He can also give you a welcome package, which tells you about Woodlawn and what we're all about here and gives you some other information.
Okay, I don't think I'm making loud noise anymore. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So now we're going to do birthdays and celebrations. Oh, maybe it is me. Maybe it's me.
Maybe when we're together.
Birthdays and celebrations. We had a million last week. Are there any left for this week? Oh, here we have one. Carol?
My son and husband yesterday and today.
Your son and husband yesterday and today. That's great. Any other birthdays?
It's Jim Allen's birthday.
Jim Allen's birthday and Jerry Jackson's birthday. We heard back here. Someone, little bird.
When today?
Us. No.
And B. Today.
Today
is today. B's
B.
Birthday.
It's your birthday. B is for birthday.
Yeah.
Any others?
Okay.
All right, let's sing.
Please join with me in our statement of reconciliation as found printed in your bulletin. As we gather in, sorry, on the screen, I forgot. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. And now let's join together in our call to worship. Come and worship God with openness. We come seeking God's presence, whatever it brings. Bring doubt, bring belief, but come seeking the light. We come seeking Jesus Christ,
the light of the world. Let us worship.
Should we have our centering music now?
We should have our centering music now. I forgot that. I'm not on the ball today. So let's sing together two times, Take, O Take Me As I Am.
Take, O Take Me As I Am.
And now we will join together in our opening hymn, which is Spirit, Open My Heart. The truth is, every time you feed the hungry, gave a drink to the thirsty, welcomed a stranger, clothed the naked, visited the sick or those in prison, every time you did these things for the least of my siblings, you did it for me. Today is International Women's Day. So as we take a moment of sacred silence, think of all the women in the world who remain the least of these and hold them in your prayers. Jesus, may your light shine bright in the world, lighting the path of those seeking a just world for the least of these. Amen. And now, as we join together in singing Christ Be Our Light, I invite any of the children who'd like to come forward for story time. Are you good? You know, do you guys know what a meme is?
Yes.
Yeah, some of you know what a meme is. A meme is like a little kind of like a cartoon or something, but it tells you something. And I saw one the other day that really, really was so true. It had a picture of this pen that had four colors. If you click it down, there was a red and a blue and a black and a green. And it said, "Today's kids want an iPhone. All I wanted was this pen when I was growing up." And, you know, it's actually true. Yes.
I saw it on Teen Titans Go.
Did you? Well. And do you know what was even better than the pen?
What?
Not that we could be so lucky to get this, because I don't even think it existed. It was crayons, but I brought markers. There was a box. This has 100 markers in it. 100. Look at them. It does not weigh 100 pounds, but it's pretty cool still. Oh, you do. Okay. We'd like the markers. And you could get this box of crayons with 64 crayons. And it had a sharpener in the back, which never worked. But it was still super cool to have.
Yeah, my friend
has it. Yeah? So when I open up a box of markers like this, there are some of the markers that I don't like. Do you know what color I don't like? What color? Black? I actually... What color, Jennifer?
Red.
Red. I don't like red. So, I would... My red marker, months after I've already used them, would be brand new. But there would be other ones that I'd be using a lot. So, what would be your favorite color to use? What would you use? Blue? What would you use? Pink? What would you use? What color? Every color, but what's your favorite? Orange, isn't it? How about you girls? What's your favorite? What's your favorite?
Purple.
Okay, how about you guys?
Red, actually.
Red. Obviously.
You'll just have to take Shannon's.
You can have all my red markers.
Yeah.
What about you? Silver. How about you guys? What's your favorite color? Blue? Violet, is your favorite color violet? Because that'd be cool. Yeah?
Green.
Someone told me the other day that her favorite color was brown. I've never met a person in my life whose favorite color was brown. So there might be some of these markers that we would use a lot, and there might be some that just sit there and they never get used.
Black gets used a lot.
Black gets used a lot, for sure. Gray? Probably not as much.
My mom's favorite color is white.
White?
Yeah.
That's not even a color.
I know, that's what I said.
And so, do you know that when you look at this and you think of all these different colors, I think that it's very common for us to really like some of them, more than we like other ones. But if we imagine that these are actually like people in the world, okay? So all these are different people with different things that they're good at and different things that they're not good at and different colors of hair and skin and eyes and different genders and they live in different parts of the world and they speak different languages and everything. If we imagine that all these markers are all different kinds of people, and we hear the scripture today that's going to be read, what we learn is that God loves them all exactly the same. Because the love is so big that it's impossible to love anymore. And so, but God loves all the people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter where they go, where they've been. God loves them. Do you have a question? You have a marker bin and two grays that work the same. Well, if those two grays were like, let's say, identical twins, God would love them both. And so that's what the scripture talks about today, is that sometimes people have favorites. Sometimes people like even a person more than another person, but not God. God loves every person in here completely, including every one of you. So let's say a prayer, and then we're going to go out to Sunday school and youth group, okay? Ready? Okay. Dear God,
help us
to love everyone,
like you do.
Amen. And we'll sing our traveling song as we go out.
So let us say our prayer confession in unison together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you in need of forgiveness and grace. You call us to trust in you completely, but we do not. We are timid and fearful as we follow your lead from shadow to light. We justify our actions and words, though we know they are not what you require. We struggle to understand the new life Christ offers, preferring old habits to risky change. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to be born again into the life of Christ, trusting that you have included us by grace in the family of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are loved and forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. I will seek the help of the Lord. I will lift up my eyes to God above, the keeper of
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for there is no one who can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or from where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what has been seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about these, about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of God. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
May God bless this reading to our understanding. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation that comes from those words be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Nicodemus, a well-known and respected teacher and leader of the Jews, went to Jesus under cover of night to ask questions. He sensed there was more to Jesus, and he was eager to find out, though not by the light of day. Through Jesus' words and actions, including the miracles or signs he performed, Nicodemus knew that Jesus was sent from God. But Jesus also said and did many things that were like a thorn in the side of Jewish leaders, especially the high priests. At this stage, Jesus was considered a nuisance, like a prophet that calls the people of their faith to task when they are not following God's plan. Later, of course, Jesus becomes a political problem, even a threat to the Jewish way of life. So anyone following Jesus had to be careful, doing so from the shadows. Jesus' words about no one seeing the kingdom of God without being born from above are mysterious and difficult to understand. But they inspire Nicodemus to question him further. Nicodemus wants to be enlightened. He's trying to be open. Perhaps this is the beginning of his journey from shadow to light. When Jesus answers Nicodemus' questions about how one can be born again after having grown old, Jesus says that one cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. I was pondering this. If we think of a baby in the womb, it is surrounded by nurturing water and warmth, but it is in complete darkness. It is not until it makes the journey down through the birth canal and out into the light that it is truly born. This is an earthly birth. To be born of the Spirit, one needs a spiritual birth. Back then, earth was considered down below, and heaven, the realm of God and spiritual beings,
was above. So perhaps Jesus was saying, people need to live their lives on earth while keeping their eyes focused on the hills or the mountains or the realm above. What God considered important for people to say and do is what would save them from evil and its destructive ways. In fact, they would be given a chance at new life with this rebirth, just as the Israelites in the desert were given a chance for new life back in Moses' time. In our scripture today, Jesus referred to the biblical story of how the Lord told Moses to make a bronze image of a poisonous serpent and put it on a pole, then raise it up high so that the Israelites, who had been bitten by venomous snakes in the wilderness, could gaze upon the image wrapped around Moses' pole and be healed. You'll find that story in Numbers in the Old Testament. Jesus was referring to himself when he said that the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Commentaries suggest that Jesus is lifted up on the cross, and after death, Jesus is lifted up or raised from the dead by being resurrected to new life. And again, Jesus is lifted up to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, which we know as Jesus' ascension. When people keep their gaze or focus on Jesus, the one who is lifted up, and believe in him as the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, then they would finally be in the light, walking with Jesus in this life and given new life after death for eternity. That's how they would be saved. And this is the reason why God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This verse of scripture is one of the most famous verses of all time for Christians. I know for myself, I memorized it as a child in Sunday school, and the words bring me comfort, assurance, and peace. The next verse confirms that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus, because God loves all of us, each and every one of us. The words born of water and spirit can be taken to mean baptism, where one is baptized with water, either full immersion or symbolically by placing water from the baptismal font onto a person's head three times as a minister says the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This then symbolizes the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven as it did for Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan River, and staying with the person as it stayed with Jesus after his baptism. It empowered him and guided him to do God's work in the world. And as we grow and mature in our faith, this is what the Holy Spirit does for us as well. Another way of looking at the words born of water and spirit is by looking further ahead in the Gospel of John to the scripture about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. Reverend Philip will be preaching on that next week. But for today, it will suffice to say that in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus offers himself as the source of living water. We know people can't survive without water, so when Jesus refers to himself as the living water, he is saying we won't survive spiritually without him.
When Jesus tells Nicodemus that one must be born again or born from above by being born of water and spirit, Jesus is equating himself as the water, knowing that when he ascends to heaven after his resurrection, he will send the promised Holy Spirit, his spirit, as an advocate, meaning helper or comforter. Essentially, the living water we need to be born again spiritually is actually Jesus' Holy Spirit. Of the four Gospels, John's is the most spiritually oriented. And the main message from this Gospel, though said many times in many different ways throughout it, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that one cannot enter the kingdom of God, that's the kingdom of God here on earth and beyond, without belief in Jesus. Jesus was the one who came down to earth from heaven, then ascended back to God's spiritual realm. He paved the way for us to follow him to eternal life. God planned this way of salvation for the world through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, which allowed Jesus' Holy Spirit to come and live in each of us. This is what brings us out of shadow into light. God's light, which is Jesus. When we live in the light of Jesus, we don't want to hide away in our homes, away from the light. We come out into the light to be light in the world. And we do this by imitating Jesus. So we worship together as a faith community and come together to do mission work here and beyond this place. We also study God's word together and show caring concern for each other as well as others beyond Woodlawn. We willingly, not reluctantly, share our resources, not only through our offerings each week, but during special times too, like we did last week when we brought in a huge amount of food for the East Dartmouth Christian Food Bank. It was a wonderful, amazing way to celebrate one of our own, Pat Rodenheiser, and her 3 decades of volunteer work as manager of the food bank in our Heritage Center next door. That's living in the light. Nicodemus ventured a journey towards Jesus, beginning in the dark of night. He asked questions. He wasn't afraid to question Jesus. And Jesus answered with holy mystery, infiltrating his words of being born of water and spirit. Leaving the shadows to come to Jesus is a beginning. Being open to asking questions is part of that beginning. Being willing to listen to Jesus' answers and ponder them is part of the journey. Walking with Jesus and imitating his words and ways by showing we care, we share, we forgive, and we love means we've left the shadows and we're truly in the light with Jesus. That's the beginning of eternal life, abiding in Jesus now, right into eternity. Nicodemus' encounter with Jesus led to his transformation. Even though Nicodemus was a secret disciple of Jesus, he journeyed from shadow to light by the end of John's Gospel, where he emerged publicly into the light of day to go with Joseph of Arimathea, another secret disciple, to bury Jesus in the tomb. But that wasn't the end. His journey from shadow to light was just beginning. Thanks be to God for Jesus and the journey. Amen. Thank you. seated. Farmers learn best from one another. The Organization of African Instituted Churches, that's OAIC, supports farmer-to-farmer knowledge exchange through interactive model farms. Using well-presented demonstrations, farmers are enabled to see for themselves how new technologies work. Small-scale farmers adopting new methods are taught how to cope with and manage ongoing agricultural challenges, climate change, and food insecurity. The farmer-to-farmer project would not exist without your gifts to mission and service. Thank you for your support of this important ministry of the United Church of Canada.
Poultry, I started on 2015, I come and realize that the project is picking up, and then my neighbors now come and gain from me. I started forming some small groups, women groups, and youth groups.
In Kenya, small-scale family farming is hard work with meager and often unstable returns. In West Pokot province, women are taking a lead role in improving the income of their farms by adopting poultry farming, while the men in the community prefer to herd goats and cattle.
Women in this community are not valued. They are being called children. They have nothing to possess in their family. The men have changed that mentality. They have seen that, they have realized that even us women, We have contributed to the economy of the family, because when we sell eggs, we can also get something children will eat.
As a mother now, you cannot come and stay at home without doing anything. I started from two hens and one cock. After 1 year, I was having like around 150 hens.
What made us to come up with this project of poultry keeping is that women are engaged in table banking. That is where women are saving and loaning out money within themselves. So we saw that when you are saving every week, you need to have something that generates money. We get to know the importance of poultry keeping from OIC training.
My name is John Gichimo. I work with the Organization of African Institutes and Churches in the Program for Theology and Ministerial Formation, but I also assist in the Program of Livelihoods and Food Security. We train some people from churches who are nominated by churches and build their capacity to go and train, you know, in the churches and community.
So when the OIC wanted someone to go and to be trained, so they called me because I was always talking about agriculture in the church. I came to mobilize my people to start keeping poultry because I saw that it is very easy.
It has quick results of profitability.
We saw that this thing here is making us also proud in the community. It also boosted our self-esteem as women.
So far, we have like 500 members, women and youth groups.
And we shall be able to come up as a community.
Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly.
Through poultry farming and other initiatives of its food security program, the Organization of African Instituted Churches is training leaders and strengthening the ability of local communities to increase incomes and crop yields, and to access and afford food in sufficient quantities and quality. Your contributions to the Mission and Service Fund of the United Church of Canada help make programs like this possible. Thank you, and please continue to give.
Friends, regardless of where we are on the journey, we gather in worship to open ourselves, to be vulnerable before the one who made us, to unclench ourselves so that we might share ourselves, our souls, our wounds, our resources, because we know that holding ourselves too tightly can strangle, while wholeness for ourselves and our world is found only in openness, trust, and sharing. The offering will now be received. We dedicate to you not only these gifts, but also ourselves in deep gratitude for your call on our lives, your guidance in the baptismal journey, and for blessing us that we may be a blessing to others. Accept and bless what we offer for your own good purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us say a new creed together. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God, who has created and is creating,
who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new,
who works in us and others by the Spirit.
We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Compassionate God, we thank you for guiding us out of shadow into the warmth of your light and love. And we thank you for keeping our lives always in your care. We pray for any and all who are in harm's way, for those walking in the midst of danger, for those who are treading a slippery path, for those exhausted and seeking relief, for those who face a mountain of worry or debt or any other obstacles. Be guardian and guide, we pray, setting all our feet on your paths of righteousness and peace. We pray for those who are struggling with a new challenge or call, with a major transition in life or livelihood, with their faith and understanding, with grief, ancient or new. Keep in your tender care and mercy, O God, those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, those weighed down by depression or pain,
those recuperating from surgery, cancer treatments, or accident. Aloud or in silence, we name those on our hearts. Send your Holy Spirit to surround us and those we love like a soft healing mantle, and wrap the whole wide world in it as well, this amazing earth that you created and that you so love. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our guiding light as we journey through this life into eternal life. In places of war, bring peace. In places beset by natural disaster, bring calm and restoration. Where there is unrest and injustice, make justice our aim. Where hope has grown tired and thin, lift our sights. Help us lift up our eyes to the hills so that we may see hope beyond hope, life beyond death, and you lifted up before us. And now, in the name of Jesus, who offers love, mercy, and grace to all, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is found in your Voices United, number 108, the words on the screen, throughout these Lenten days and nights. God bless and keep us.
And may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all, empowering us to leave shadow behind and walk fully in the light with Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.